So let's pray. Holy, holy God, we ask that you would be with us. Continue to reveal yourself to us. We ask that you might inspire us through your Holy Spirit, that we might hear your voice, that you might call us to see the world a little differently, to see ourselves a little differently, to see you a little differently, so that we might become more like the Christ. Amen. So, we're continuing on our parable series titled Subversive Stories. And this one has a great subtitle. This is our second parable, and the subtitle is called Are You Resentful Because I Am Generous? Are you resentful because I am generous? And this one's been working on me for the last couple of weeks. So much so that I get my sermons done about Wednesday, maybe Thursday afternoon by the latest, because I want it to kind of simmer for a few days, and if something changes, I can change it Friday or Saturday, and then Sunday I'm here. Well, Thursday night, a lot of times, when Karina and I, my wife, are eating dinner, a lot of times I'll ask her, so I want to run through my sermon, is that okay? And she says, sure. She's going to have to hear it 3 or 4 times, so I'm sorry. I ask her, just let me know what this is like. Let me know if you follow with me. So I went through this whole sermon. I went through this whole passage. I went through this whole parable trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And I told her all of my thoughts, everything that I had planned, all the pictures I had. And she looks at me like, Will, I don't know what you're saying. She had no idea. And it didn't click with her. And I think internally something didn't click with me either. But she said, it doesn't make any sense to me, but this is how I read that particular parable. And she goes into this long diatribe of what this parable might speak to her and how it might mean something to her, which spurred something very new to me because I had never thought about that. So then Friday early morning, instead of going with the sermon that I had Thursday, I woke up a little earlier and did a little more research on what she had thought about, which guided me in more rabbit holes, which led us to this sermon this morning. So this is a few days of a sermon that has been kind of resonating with me, but it really spoke to me on things that have happened prior in my life. So, this sermon is titled, Are You Resentful Because I Am Generous? And it's a very familiar parable to us, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So what we're going to do, with every parable that we deal with, I want you to know, however you interpret it is okay. You're going to have different interpretations, just like myself and Karina had different interpretations. As long as you're in these boundaries of love and care and forgiveness, okay? If a parable tells you you don't like that person or you just hate that individual, that's not a good interpretation. Yeah, you can laugh, it's okay. But if you're within these boundaries, it's okay. So something that you see in this parable, somebody else might see something entirely different or not see it. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you time to meditate upon this parable. So I'm going to read it 3 different times, and you're going to have an opportunity to do something after I read it. The first time, I'm going to read the parable, and you're going to just get the details. Maybe about 20 seconds after the end, and you're just going to just get the gist of the story, what's going on, think about the characters, think about the setting, and just kind of know what's going on. And then I'm going to start reading it a second time, and I want you to pick out a word or phrase or an image that sticks out to you after I read it a second time. You don't have to give a reason why, just pick out a word or phrase or image wherever God is speaking to you, and just meditate for 20 seconds at the end of that about that particular word. And then I'm going to read it a third time, and I want you to kind of dive in, what might this passage or this parable be saying to you today? I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to meditate upon that. And then we'll jump into the sermon about what it meant to me. Okay? So I'm going to read it first. Just get the details. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here, doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody's hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. these who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I am generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. So take 15 seconds and just run through this parable in your head. If you want to close your eyes, you're welcome to do that. So I'm going to read it a second time, and I want you to pick out a word, a phrase, an image that comes to your head as I read this parable. And at the end of reading the parable, I'm going to give you about 20 or 30 seconds to meditate upon that word, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day long?" "Because nobody hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now, when those hired first came, they also thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. So pick out a word, a phrase, or image, and take 30 seconds. So I'm going to need your help. This side, what stuck out to you as we were reading this parable? What stuck out? Somebody yell it out. Shout it out. Raise your hand. Nothing? Hold on. Resentful. Resentful. Last line. Those shall be first will be last, and the last shall be first. Okay? Anything else on this side of the room? Generous. Generous. Yeah. Okay. Middle row. I'm going to ask you. What stuck out? Yeah, don't I have a right to do with what belongs to me? Yeah. Pay what is right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so he kept going back to the marketplace. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's deep. Never thought about that one. A plus. Anything else in the middle row or middle section? Resentful. Yeah, we got resentful, yeah. All right, this side, what you got? What stuck out? No one hired me. Say it again? No one hired me. Yeah. whatever is right. Yeah, whatever. He said whatever is right, right? Over here. Yeah. Generous. Yeah, we got some generosity here too. Anything else? What is it? Friend, I did you no wrong. Ooh, there's a lot loaded in that question. When you look through the rest, little side note here, when you look through other parts of the scripture where he calls them friend, it's not a good thing to be called a friend. Just want to let you know. He calls Judas a friend. He only uses it twice. Or twice beyond this one. Anything else? All right. So I'm going to read it a third time. And if your word changes, that's okay. But I'm going to read it a third time. And I want you to think about what this text might be speaking to you wherever you're at. You all are going through different experiences for different moments and different times. How might this parable be speaking to you? So I'm going to read it again. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." And they went. Again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. Around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you just standing around here all day doing nothing?" "Because nobody has hired us," they replied. He responded, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owners of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first." When those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarian. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun. But he replied to them, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give to this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have a right to do with what I want belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous?" So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds. What might this parable be speaking to you? Okay, I won't ask you all because sometimes it's personal. But there's one line in this parable, there's one thing, there's one kernel that as Karina and I were talking on Thursday that just, the line just stuck out like a sore thumb. And it's this one. Are you resentful because I am generous? ? Are you resentful because I am generous? Now, what we're going to do this morning, that's a loaded statement with a lot going on. So we're going to take the first part of the statement, "Are you resentful?" for the first part of the sermon, and then we're going to go to "I am generous" for the second part of the sermon, and then at the end we're going to tie it together and say, what does this mean for us, and how is this impacting our lives? So first off, are you resentful? The word resentful here, we have our own connotations about what resentment is. We see somebody and we're upset, we're angry, we're resentful towards that person. Yet, in the Greek, it's a very different understanding of what resentfulness is. Resentful literally means to have an evil eye. So in the ancient Near East, if you had an evil eye towards somebody, you know, have you ever done like shooting daggers at somebody and you can feel somebody kind of being resentful towards you, or maybe you've done it to somebody that stole your parking spot, something like that, somebody that drives really, really slowly and then you turn to your left and you just shoot daggers at them. Yeah, we've done, I know. That's what we call an evil eye. And in this particular circumstance, in this particular time period, if you're shooting an evil eye at somebody, You are hoping that they would be harmed, they would have harm would happen to them, that they would be malice, and they would, their terrible things would occur to them. And in this time period, they believe that that would actually happen. So they would have amulets and things that they would protect themselves to have an evil eye. So if you were to give somebody an evil eye, it wouldn't have any impact upon them. Now, evil eye does not just occur here in this particular passage. It also occurs in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is talking about how the things that occur within ourselves, the resentment, the evil eye that we have, starts from within and then builds up and then blows up outside of ourselves. It is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. That's a very long list. And all these evils come from inside and defile a person. Well, the word that we have for envy here, it's not the word just envy. They didn't have envy, and then they didn't have these different despair and things. This word is the same word that we have in our parable, an evil eye, resentment, envy, jealousy. It all is about this evil eye. And the rabbis had a very, very particular role and rule about how we deal with an evil eye. And this is one of the parables that they said about this particular parable. And they shared this. It is prohibited for a person to stand in another's field and look at his crop while the grain is standing, because he cast an evil eye, that same word, upon it, and thereby causes the onlooker, the one who's standing in the field, damage. And the same is true for the garden. Now, imagine yourself let's say you are in your backyard, and your grass is not growing. There's been a drought, the sod has been bad, the sprinkler heads have just broken, and you have no grass in your backyard. And the grass is always greener on your neighbor's yard, right? So you go and you stand on your neighbor's grass, and you are so happy because your neighbor's grass is green, somehow. On the inside, on the depths, and the very beings, you get a little jealous. You get a little envious. You get that evil eye upon you because that neighbor's grass is nicer than your grass. Comparison is a theft of joy. We get upset because that person has more than us. That person is better at this. That person didn't deserve this, but they got it, while my grass doesn't grow. The ancient rabbinical idea is you aren't allowed to do that. Now, why is this so interesting? This part is so interesting to me. Why? Because he who casts an evil eye upon it thereby causes himself, the onlooker, damage, as same as the garden. The evil eye isn't so much for us nowadays about the person that we're seeing these terrible things about. The evil eye hurts ourselves. Having an evil eye destroys us. The resentment, the envy, the greed, the evil eye that we have, that we try to shoot daggers upon somebody, isn't about the person that we're shooting daggers about. It hurts us so much more. Have you ever tried to deal with resentment? Have you ever tried to deal with envy and jealousy? Somehow it kind of just bubbles up and kind of sits here like a parasite, and it begins to infect everything you do, and it almost infects you to a being where it's not good for yourself. So think about if you're at a job. You're at a job, and you've been working at this marketing agency for about 6 or 7 years, and you've shown up on time every single day, and you've done everything the job has asked you and beyond. Your numbers are way beyond what they were supposed to be, and a promotion comes up. And you want to apply for this promotion, and you think you're a shoo-in for it. You've got it. Well, Diane just joined the company about 6 months ago, and her numbers haven't been that good, and she's shown up a little bit late, and she's interviewing for this job as well. She thinks she's going to get the job, but you're like, no, I've been here longer. My numbers are so much better, I get the job. Well, when you have the interview, you find out afterwards that you don't get the job, that Diane gets the job. Immediately, what happens to you? You might be shooting daggers. You might be giving an evil eye to Diane, to those who's interviewed you, the managers above you, and you get so upset because you didn't get the job that you thought you deserved. You thought it was fair, and in reality, you didn't. You begin to cast an evil eye upon somebody. You begin to experience that jealousy, that envy, that resentment towards that person. Or maybe you're at school. Maybe you're at school, and you're working on a school project with somebody. And there are three different people in your group, and it's a science, say it's just a science fair, a science project, and you get everything ready. You work day and night to get the trifold board out. You get all the cardboard paper cut out. You print everything together and make it look beautiful and wonderful. You think it's going to be awesome. Well, Carson is also in your group. He didn't do too much work, but he agreed that he was going to stand up and he was going to speak about it. And he gives his whole presentation in front of Mrs. Smith, and Carson does a great job. And Mrs. Smith gives him all the accolades, all of the good things, all of the words of affirmation, if that's your love language. He gives him everything Mrs. Smith does, she does. And you get nothing. You get nothing. What happens within you immediately? You get resentful. You get jealous. You get envy. And that parasite that starts, it begins to spread a little bit. It spreads to the blood. It spreads to the muscles. It spreads to the bones. And eventually, it spreads to everywhere. And it impacts everything you do. So when you're at work and you see that person that got the promotion, you keep sending them evil eyes. And when you sit down for a meeting with people at your work, that negativity begins to overflow and that jealousy begins to just spread out. And nobody wants to be around you at the water cooler. Yeah, resentment begins to destroy ourselves from the inside. Or you see Carson walking down the hallway and you might give him a little trip here. Yeah, we all have done it. The resentment begins to build and build and build, and we begin to keep evil eye upon evil eye. And that's what resentment does. It spreads like a parasite to us and even to others that we encounter. We've probably been at a party before. And we're having a really good time at this dinner party, talking to our friends, talking to family members. And we all know about this person named Deborah. She's a Debbie Downer. And we know that she had something that happened in her life, and all she does is complain about this thing in her life. She's resentful because her ex-husband did this or her child did that. And whenever she comes to the party, what happens? The party bubble begins to drop. It's like a balloon just pops, and you don't want nothing to do with that party anymore. It was once at a 10, and now it's at a 2. And about an hour into the party that she's there, nobody wants to talk with her. She's talking to this group, and then the group disperses, and then she goes and talks to another group, and then that group disperses. Yeah. There is something within Debbie Downer, that just resonates within her. The parasite has spread so much, and it's not just affecting her. It affects others as well. The same happens with our resentment. I don't know what you're resentful for. I don't know where you cast evil eyes upon other people, but it impacts you. It's a parasite upon yourself, and it does something to you. It changes you. It makes you more negative, no more joy-filled to be around. Nobody wants to talk with you because you're not dealing with the resentment. So we all cast evil eyes at time. So what do we do? What do we do? There's another type of eye, a good eye, a peaceful eye, or the second part of this saying, a generous eye. One of the rabbinical views about a good eye is this. A good eye designates an attitude of goodwill and kindness towards others. Someone who has this attitude in life will rejoice when his or her fellow person prospers. He or she will wish everyone well. When you have a good eye, it subverts everything and changes the way you see that person getting their promotion. It changes the way you see that person getting credit. It changes the way you see that person interacting with other people. It changes everything and makes you see it very differently. Are you resentful because I am generosity? I am generous. Now, science shows how important generosity is. And this is from a science article about how generosity impacts us. So it says this, generosity doles out several different happiness chemicals, including dopamine, which are endorphins that give people a sense of euphoria, and oxytocin. I had to look up the pronunciation for that word. Oxytocin, which is associated with tranquility, serenity, or inner peace. Do you see the difference? When you cast out an evil eye upon somebody, that resentment begins to build and build and build, and the parasite begins to spread to every part of your body. Yet when you're generous, when your heart really cares for somebody else and you're willing to give what you have, that spreads as well, but in a way that gives you serenity and inner peace. During Christmas time, when you're walking to a Walgreens, are walking to a Publix, you see these individuals, the Salvation Army collection people, who are ringing a bell. And every time during this Christmas when I walk through and I see these individuals who are trying to raise money for the Salvation Army, and they're ringing a bell this way or they're ringing it this way, some of them were dancing. They were doing one of these things. Some of them were just so excited and so thrilled because they were generous. And I thought, I want to be best friends with these individuals. I wanted to hang out with these people because they had this joy. They had this generosity, they had this oxytocin that was just it was magnetic. You want to be with people who are generous, who are full of joy. And when you look at these individuals, look at their faces. That's joy. I feel like I could be best friends with each one of those people in their own way. When we live with joy, it changes us. It transforms us. It's so much healthier than having resentment build up within us and casting out evil eyes upon people. Comparison is a thief of joy. And when we're truly grateful, when we're truly generous, when we're generous and grateful for what we have, it shapes everything and shifts it upside down. So when you see that person at work that got the promotion, instead of being upset and angry and casting evil eyes upon that person, instead of dealing with the resentment, maybe you can think of it a very different way and say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful I have a job. I'm grateful that I get to provide for my family. I'm grateful that I get paid for this. Do you see the shift? Or when you're at school and you're doing this project, and instead of saying that person gets all the awards, maybe you should say, well, you know, I'm really glad that I got that good grade. I'm really glad that the teacher appreciated this. I'm really glad that I get to do this schoolwork. Do you see the shift? It is very different. It's not about casting evil eyes upon people. It's about being grateful and generous with what we have. And when you think about the parable of the workers in the vineyard, they were casting evil eyes upon the landowner. They were casting evil eyes upon those who received more, and they thought it wasn't fair. Yet in reality, there's something much more going on with this parable. I wonder what it would have looked like. I wonder if this parable was told differently, if this parable was told in a flipped manner, if the parable was told in a positive manner, I wonder if those workers who grumbled and complained because they worked so hard and weren't given more, I wonder what would have happened if they would have been celebrating and they would have said, I am so grateful that I had a job. I'm so grateful I'm able to provide for my family. I'm so grateful that those individuals that might not have been able to provide for their family are now able to provide for their family. If these workers would have done that in this particular time setting with this particular landowner, I bet you that landowner would have said, oh, yeah, you guys got it. You get the point. We're going to invite everybody in the neighborhood, everybody in the town, and we're going to throw a giant party and feast because you all get it. I wonder if the parable would have changed if they wouldn't have been dealing in evil eyes and would have been having the good eye. So I don't know what context you're in. I don't know if there's some resentment held up within a family member that you have. I don't know if there's something within your work that you're holding this grudge within you. I don't know if there's something going on within you that's just been bubbling up and you've been angry and negative for a while now and you can't figure out why. I don't know. But I challenge you and I invite you to not be resentful, to not hold that grudge, to not be jealous, to not deal with envy. But I invite you to celebrate. I invite you to be generous. I invite you to have a heart of gratitude. I invite you to talk to the landowner and say, I am so grateful you gave those people a job. I invite you to live in generosity and not be resentful, but be grateful for the landowner's generosity. Let's pray. Generous God, we are grateful that everything you have given us is a gift. It truly is a gift. And we ask that you'd help us and shift the way that we see others. That it's not about fairness. It's about seeing the gifts that we have are so valuable and we are so grateful for that free gift. So help us. Help us in our work life. Help us within our family. Help us within our friends. Help us within our neighbors to not hold a resentful feeling, to not hold an evil eye upon somebody, to not cast daggers upon somebody, but to live and to live generously, to be grateful. And might you speak this to us throughout every day that we go. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to rise as we continue through our worship experience. And as the ushers come forward, you're going to place offering within the baskets. And it's a reminder that everything we have is a gift. So we're going to invite the ushers forward to collect God's tithes and our offering.